I'm going to assume we're live now. So let's start with our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
Pledge
allegiance
allegiance
to the
to the
flag
flag
with
of
the United States of America
America
and to the
and to the
Republic
Republic
for which it
for which it
stands,
stands,
one
one
nation
nation
under
under
God.
God,
Indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all.
Thank you. Can we do a roll call, Janet?
Chair Goodman,
I'm here.
Vice Chair Murr,
present.
Commissioner Callanan,
Present.
Commissioner Aguilar is absent. Commissioner Peck.
Present.
All righty. And at this moment, do we have any public comment on anything not on the agenda?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item on this agenda, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself at this time. I see no public comment, Chair Goodman.
All righty. Well, then we can move on to the consent calendar. And our item on the consent calendar is the approval of the commission meeting minutes from Monday, May 2nd. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Move.
In a second.
I'll second.
Second.
All right. So then we need a vote.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Murr?
Aye.
Commissioner Callanan?
Aye.
Commissioner Peck?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. So we'll move on to our next item, the Collection Development Policy and Request for Reconsideration form. So, Allison, I'm turning it over to you.
Okey-doke. You may hear some background noise. The air conditioning in this office is a little bit loud. I apologize for that. I am going to read the staff report just to give those who may be listening a little bit of background into why libraries have collection development policies. There are a rapidly increasing number of challenges to library collections throughout the United States. The American Library Association gathers statistics on challenged materials across the US every year. And in 2021, there were 729 attempted bans on 1,597 individual books. And most of that material that people have found objectionable, generally that relates on materials on race, sexism, sexuality, and freedom of speech. Books on LGBTQ plus topics, are always the most banned materials each year. In many, if most, not most cases, the objector has not read or viewed the item, but made a judgment based on hearsay or on the title alone. There have been instances in the last 2 years where librarians have been fired by their organizations for having these kinds of well-reviewed materials, which represent all segments of their service population, in their collections. School boards recently have been introducing book bannings on books that they say are harmful to minors, such as the classic graphic novel Mouse, which is a story of the Holocaust told in the form of mice instead of humans. And it's been banned because it depicts a nude mouse. And it also has swear words in it. It's a phenomenal book. I believe it won the Pulitzer Prize. In Tennessee, this past year, the 1921 song "I'm Wild About Harry" was banned because it contains the word ecstasy. And that was meant in the spirit, the meaning of the word, not as ecstasy, the drug, but in ecstasy, the emotional feeling. Of banned books, about 41% of the protagonists or prominent secondary characters are people of color. Librarians are all about representing the whole population that they serve. So a collection development policy is vital for every type of library to have. And so that includes school libraries and academic libraries and law libraries and medical libraries, all of that. It lays out the rules that the staff follow when selecting all types of materials for circulation at library branches. The policy is specific about the criteria for selection of each type of material, from print to audiovisual, from three-dimensional objects to online resources. I will be presenting the collection development policy and request for reconsideration form that were adopted by the Goleta City Council, who serve as the Library Board of Trustees, on June 5th, 2018. I'm proposing some additions to the policy, which are reflected in green in our collection development policy, which we will be showing on the screen. The most recent versions of the American Library Association's Bill of Rights, Freedom to Read and Freedom to View statements are also part of our collection development policy. I didn't highlight those all in green because I thought it might be overwhelming, but they are updated. The American Library Association and staff at the Goleta and San Ynez Valley Libraries believe that we can trust individuals to make their own decisions about what they read and believe. We also believe that parents have the right to guide their children's reading, but parents should not be making decisions for other parents' children. And finally, we believe that young people deserve to see themselves reflected in a library's materials. So we're asking the Library Advisory Commission to discuss the changes to the collection development policy and to the request for reconsideration form. Action at this meeting is not necessary if you wish to have more time to reflect on the issues. The topic could be addressed at the August Library Advisory Commission meeting because we will not have a July meeting due to the July 4th holiday. So we've got the first page of the collection development policy up there. And again, it just sort of reiterates what I've just said, that we have the policy to meet the informational, educational, and recreational needs of the residents of the city of Goleta and its neighboring community. That also, of course, includes our branches north of us in Buellton and Solvang. The ultimate responsibility for collection management rests with the library director, who operates within the framework of policies determined by City Council and also the Library Advisory Commission. City employees under my supervision also select materials for the collection, and those two employees are both accredited librarians with master's degree from universities that are accredited by the American Library Association. Materials are selected for the library's collection based on professionally accepted guidelines. We use a number of materials to help us suss out the materials that we should purchase for the library. Now, I've made some crossouts in some areas of things that I thought perhaps we should take away. And then I've made additions that I've highlighted in green. Now, the first crossout I made here is under all acquisitions, whether purchased or donated, are evaluated by the following criteria. And I crossed out patron demand only because it's repeated in each category afterwards, and I thought it was repetitive. However, I did receive a phone call from a member of our library users who felt that it's important that it be there. So if you agree, I am more than happy to uncross out that category, patron demand, and leave it in there, even though it is sort of reiterated throughout the policy. So I will take your direction as to whether you would like that to remain there or if you feel it doesn't need to.
I think in my take, I would keep it because I think it's an evaluation criteria. It's not the end all be all unless I misunderstand it or misreading. I can understand the reason you want to make sure with the mission statement of the library to show the content that is, I love the line, you know, young people do deserve to see themselves in our catalog. And that's an important piece of representation that shouldn't be tied to demand. But I think you can still have patron demand without sacrificing that. That's my two cents.
Okay. Anybody else?
I agree with Dave, and I would also say that just as I've been on this commission and have listened to what you tell us, you speak so often and so passionately about wanting to provide things for the users that they want. So it seems to me like that is a criteria that you use and you actually take very seriously. So that's why I think it should probably stay in.
Okay. So I am going, we don't, this is a PDF, so we can't make live changes, but I am going to uncross out that section and leave that as our number one criteria. Okay, next slide, Janet, please. So we do buy a number of different print materials. I did not see that we needed to change anything in our nonfiction criteria. We buy materials of both permanent and current interest in all subjects. In addition to general selection criteria, nonfiction titles are selected based on sustaining value, current information, demand, cost, and appropriateness for format. We emphasize non-scholarly materials. We are not a university library, so we do not carry textbooks, nor do public libraries in general. Materials for children are selected to generate and support interest in popular subjects and to provide supplemental materials for typical school assignments. So we felt that that was sufficient and still appropriate. In fiction criteria, we noted that we didn't have any statement involving teen fiction, which is a very popular part of our collection. So I inserted a statement in there because I have the statement in there that an effort is made to purchase in multiple fiction genres for adults, including mysteries, science fiction, graphic novels, fantasy, westerns, and romances. And reasonable efforts are made to complete series and purchase books written by local authors or that have local interest. And then I added a sentence, the collection for teens, which has a misplaced apostrophe mark, sorry about that, includes all of the above genres and is generally for ages 12 to 18 years plus. We do not restrict that collection to only 12 to 18, but that's generally the age group that those books are geared for by the authors. However, we have precocious readers who are younger than that, and we have plenty of adults who love teen fiction. So I did want to put that in there because we do include a statement on children's fiction. How do you feel about that?
I think that's a great addition.
Okay, we also still purchase some print periodicals, although I did put a statement in there that increasingly periodicals are available in downloadable format through the Black Gold Cooperative Library System. So the physical collection has decreased. We used to purchase probably 3 times the number of periodical titles that we now purchase, simply because they're available much more cheaply through Black Gold. But we do have the titles that our patrons find most favorite and still want to check out. So we still continue to purchase print versions of those. Any changes there? Okay. Reference. Our reference collection used to take up the whole area behind the circulation desk where our hold books are kept now. Our reference collection takes up 2 shelves now. And that's because they're so expensive, and an encyclopedia set is usually runs about $800 for a world book set, and it's obsolete by the time it's printed. Whereas when you look for things online for kids, the information, if you know where to look, is up to date and correct. So we're not looking at Wikipedia, because we know Wikipedia is not reliable, but we do know the correct sites to look at for encyclopedia information for kids and adults and teens. So increasingly, we use online resources for that, and we needed more space for our hold materials. So I put in a statement that our physical collection has decreased. Any statements there? Okay, next slide, please, Janet. Okay, non-print materials. So the statement that I took out of here was back in 2018, there were we have certain journals that we use: Library Journal, School Library Journal, Publishers Weekly, Book List, and Kirkus Reviews. These are all journals that are published for libraries and bookstores to find out the variety of books and audiovisual materials that are being published. Small press, big press, popular, you know, really big bestseller authors, and then more small press materials. And they are reviewed by professionals and also by librarians like me. I review books on CD for Library Journal and School Library Journal. And so we use these journals to find what's coming out. We know where our holes are in our collections. We know, for example, that true crime books go out really well in Goleta, but not very well in Solvang. So we know we want to purchase those for Goleta, but not Solvang. We know that Westerns go out really well in Buellton, but not so much in Goleta. So we use these journals for purchasing things. Now, when we wrote this policy in 2018, the library journals weren't really covering audiovisual materials so much. So we had to use online sites like Rotten Tomatoes and one called Metacritic. But that took a lot of time. And because the journals now are reviewing books on CD, DVDs, and music, we can use up less time by using the library journals and make our selections from those. So I have crossed out the online review aggregators and just left in the library journals and the nationally recognized award winners, and added that we also purchase Blu-ray format materials as per many users' requests. Can I answer any questions there, or are you okay with that change? Okay, great. Audiobooks. I think by 2018, we were only purchasing compact disc. We had given up on the audio cassette format, but back then we were really only purchasing for adults and children, and now we are purchasing for teens as well. So I wanted to specify that. And then we also wanted to specify that some children's audiovisual formats are in MP3 or CD format and include a copy of the book along with the audio format item, so that children who are having some difficulty learning to read can listen while they're looking at the text, and it helps them improve their reading skills. So can I answer any questions about that or make any changes? No, you guys are giving me an easy time tonight. Okay, we have an entirely new collection, the Library of Things, since 2018. So I'll just read the whole thing aloud. This collection of three-dimensional objects includes a wide variety of items, such as virtual reality goggles, cake pans, robots for children learning to code, technology for adults to test, I often call it a technology petting zoo, home energy kits, and much more. Selection of these items is primarily done through research into other library systems, Library of Things collections, and finding out their most popular items. At this time, there is no professional review source for library collections of things. We do use Consumer Reports as a source for reviews of products, and that helps guide our purchases when we're looking at things like virtual reality goggles or coding products, things like that. So that's an entirely new collection. It's been going very well since we added it to the library collection, and it's available for any of our patrons. The only thing is that they have to come to Goleta Library to check them out, because we don't want to put them in shipment for fear that they will be damaged. So can I answer any questions on that collection? So next is online resources. We do have some online databases that are specific to Goleta alone, and those generally are selected dependent on patron demand for the subject rely on staff suggestions for topics that patrons are frequently asking about. And then selection of most of these items is shared by members of the Black Gold Cooperative Library System. So sites such as Hoopla and Canopy, the film site, allow patrons to self-select entirely. And then this past year and a half, the State Library of California has made available to us a number of online databases for our patrons to access for free that otherwise they would have to pay for, such as the site that was formerly called lynda.com, which now is called LinkedIn Learning. We also have the New York Times full text online. We have a great site called Get Set Up. It's a terrible title, but it's a wonderful site for seniors with all kinds of great online classes. And so we're starting to really publicize these databases through our e-newsletter. So any questions about any of those? Okay.
I have a question before we move on to the collection maintenance. I was wondering why there is not a section here for ebooks.
Because as of yet, we do not have our own ebook collection. Ebook selection is done by a team of Black Gold librarians. We each take turns throughout the year to purchase things. It's a team effort by all of us, and Black Gold has created the selection criteria for that collection. We are hoping to have an Overdrive Advantage account in the next fiscal year, which would be materials just for our patrons to check out. It would be just e-book and e-audiobook bestsellers to help make the lines a little bit shorter for our patrons, but we need approval by council. So once we get approval by council, we will have to make an amendment to this policy.
I do wonder though, if you know, describing that process might be good to put in here, because if someone was going to look at the policy, they might say the same, well, what about ebooks? And they would like to know that you don't have a policy because it's covered under something else.
Okay. Okay, I'll see if I can. Yeah, their criteria run about 10 pages. So I'll just mention that there is criteria, and I'll see how I can distill it, hopefully down into a paragraph. Thanks, I will do that and have it ready for August. And by then we should know if the council has approved our Overdrive Advantage collection, and I would be able to insert that information in as well. Thank you.
I'm thinking you could say something really simple, just like ebooks are purchased through the Black Gold Cooperative, and here's where you find that, you know, you could just point them to where to find that 10-page policy. You don't actually need to summarize it all.
Okay. All right, will do. Okay. And then on the next page, the only next slide, Janet. Thank you. So I do mention the request for reconsideration. So we do have a procedure for if someone does complain about one of the items in our collection. We do not endorse particular views or beliefs through the selection of our materials. We try to present most viewpoints as best we can. An individual who disagrees with a selection decision can request that the library relocate an item. So say maybe we have an item in the teen collection that they feel should be in the adult collection. So we will consider that, or they can ask us to withdraw an item altogether. by submitting a written request for reconsideration form, which we'll look at next. I and the Collection Development Committee would review the request in relation to our selection criteria and this collection development policy. Once the decision is made, then the individual would be notified of the decision in writing. And then the last section has to do with gifts. As you might imagine, we are offered many donations all the time. We evaluate them the same way that we do when we're are purchasing materials, and we never promise that we will accept a donation and that it will be added to the collection. We are very careful to always say that we will evaluate the donation using our selection criteria, and it may be added to the collection, but it also may not be. And if it's not added to the collection, we will most likely give it to the Friends to be put into the Friends book sale. So I wanted to add the City of Goleta's gift policy to our collection development policy because it wasn't there before, and I felt that it was important to have it there. So that's an attachment at the end of your packet, and we're not going to go over that because it's the City of Goleta gift policy, so it covers a really broad spectrum of gifts from single items to, you know, $10,000 items, so we're not going to really go through that. So I think that pretty much covers everything until we get to slide 15, because the rest of it is just the American Library Association Bill of Rights materials, which you can read. I'm sure you've read on your own. So this is the request for reconsideration of library material. And I added this line, do you represent yourself, an organization? And if they do represent an organization, what is the name of that organization? We want to know if someone is local asking us to request this, or if it's some sort of national or state group that isn't part of our community. We are not going to give them the same consideration that we would to a member of our community. We give a lot of consideration, clearly, as you've seen, to what we purchase. And if we're going to give a lot of consideration to a request to reconsider the inclusion of an item, we want it to be a serious request. And so we want the person requesting it to put some thought into why they are making that request. And so we asked them several questions. What did you find objectionable? Please cite specific passages or ideas. Did you read, view, or listen to the entire work or a portion of the work? If not, what parts did you review? What do you believe are the main ideas found in this work? What are the good points about this work? Are you aware of reviews of this work made by critics? When I was in New York as a children's librarian, I had someone, I had a very similar request for reconsideration form there, and someone asked me to get rid of all picture books that had talking animals in them because animals don't talk and it would be confusing to children and it was not truthful, and so we should get rid of all of them. And that was not a request that we could really take seriously because A, we would have maybe two shelves of picture books left if we got rid of all of the ones with talking animals. And B, it was disrespecting children's wonderful imagination. and the imagination of all of those wonderful children's book authors and illustrators. So we need for these requests to be serious and thoughtful. And so that is why we have this request. And we will give, if someone submits one, we will give it every consideration. We're not trying to be obstructive. We just want to have the full information. And you can be sure that if we receive one of these, the entire committee will read the book or the periodical or listen to the audio, view the DVD, and make an informed decision ourselves. So I wanted you to see the form and just explain why we added that line. Can I answer any questions on this form?
Yeah, I have an observation, I think. You know, obviously we're seeing this on the fly. To me, and again, as one who believes that animals can't speak, but to me that it feels a little skewed, like the person who files this has to prove themselves, you know, as opposed to a community member who may have some objection that I might not agree with. But I would suggest, I know you're trying to fit this on one page, but I would suggest expanding question one a bit, you know, because you're asking what did they find objectionable, but I would add a question, I think, saying why did you find this objectionable? I think it would give them a chance to express, you know, express their attitude about it, and also we might learn from it, because the rest of the questions are kind of, you know, did you read reviews, what are the good parts, you know, did you look at the whole thing or a bit of it? You know, it's a little bit of a proof points for the objection. So I might try to just even it out a bit.
Okay.
And yeah, I just had one quick thing. My question would be on the good parts of the work. I don't, kind of as Commissioner Peck just pointed out, I don't know, to me it felt like as again, you know, you're trying to have make them put the burden of proof on that. I think if you find something, I mean, I'm just my own thing, if I were to feel something like this, I felt objectionable, I don't know if I would be able to say, oh, well, it deals with these pertinent issues. I feel like that's a difficult one for someone raising an issue.
Okay, thank you. So maybe I'll take out question four and
sub in the other question. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
Any other suggestions?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I would change this, but asking if you're aware of the reviews just allows people to say yes or no. Really, you want to know what reviews led you to this.
Or did any reviews lead you?
Was there a review that led you to this feeling? I'm also thinking, and again, one page, maybe it could be back in front, but the spaces are so small.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if someone is going to go to the trouble of asking for review, they should be encouraged to express themselves articulately. And you know, and if they can't, that also tells you something, that maybe just giving them a little, literally more space under each question to write those answers. And I don't know if this could be made into a fillable form where people can, you know, put in as much text as they want.
But, no, I would support that if that's possible, because I was thinking the same thing. Those are pretty small boxes, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's a PDF right now on the website, but we'll see if we can change that. Any other?
If it's a PDF, some people won't know how to send it back because it'll be read-only.
Right.
Edit. So that's an issue too.
Dave, did you have another comment?
Oh, sorry. No, I didn't take my hand down.
Okay. Those are all great suggestions, and I will fix all of those for our August meeting. Also in August, I'll be coming back to you with sample policies relating to the First Amendment audit. Interestingly, we had an incident at the library where I was filmed and accused of a number of things. And so we have a photography policy to bring to your attention, and also some ideas for changes to make to our rules of conduct. And then I'll bring you the changes that we discussed tonight. And I know that Lori, last month you asked for a report on Buellton and Solvang. We can look at doing that at the October meeting, because in September we won't have a meeting due to Labor Day. So those are the things that I have for us for our next agenda.
Great. At this time, is there any public comments or questions?
If there are any members of the public wishing to make wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself at this time. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
Great, thank you. And does anyone on the commission have any other future agenda items they'd like to put out there?
Well, only that I may be turning out pretty soon. So I just want to say it's been a slice in case. I'm not sure if either Allison or Janet know when that is, but I know it's impending.
We'll look into that.
Okay, because I was asked to apply for something else, but.
We'll send you off with balloons and flowers.
That's what I want. Hint, hint.
All right, well. Thank you all. Let's officially adjourn this meeting at 6:43 on June 6th. Thank you all, and see you in August.